views and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of 55KRC, The Talk Station, and Clear Channel Worldwide.
Welcome to Ballistic Radio, Cincinnati's only gun talk show. Join us. We're going to explore the topic of firearms and your rights as a law-abiding citizen. Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Kyle's Gun Shop in Finneytown, your source for premium firearms and ammunition. Now here's your host, John Johnston, on 55KRZ, the talk station.
Good evening and welcome to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Kyle's Gun Shop in Finneytown, your source for premium firearms and ammunition. I'm your host, John Johnston. As always, check us out on ballisticradio.com and facebook.com/ballisticradio. Joining us a little later in the show is going to be Tom Wellingham from the owner of Point Blank in Blue Ash to talk about their new range that they have over there. Also joining him is going to be Gunny Mac talking about all the cool things that they do as well. Before we get to that, though, I've got Jim Beatty and Andy Ulrich in studio with me co-hosting this evening. How's it going, guys?
Pretty good.
As always, it's great to be here.
Hey, well, I appreciate
just dry Sunday.
Oh, yeah. I appreciate see Andy's getting ready to Facebook a silly photo of me over in the corner if I had to guess.
Well, actually, your face is blocked, so that's why I was going to post it.
Oh, that's perfect.
Okay.
Hey, any picture that you can't actually see me in is a good one. So anyway, a lot of folks end up talking about, you know, firearms training and talking about some of the things that may or may not happen in a gunfight and all that. And one of the things that seems to get overlooked quite a bit is the fundamentals. When we're talking about fundamentals, probably the first and foremost fundamentals we should be practicing are safe firearms handling skills. So we're going to talk about that a little bit this evening, why that's important, some of the things that we should ingrain into ourselves if we're going to be around and handling firearms. Now, you'll hear about the four rules of firearm safety. You ever heard of those four rules, Jim?
Oh, no, not at all. Actually, it seems like there's like five or six different versions of the four rules. There are the five rules or the six, you know, but
pretty much talking about Cooper's original
four?
Yeah, something like that. So the first being assume that the gun is loaded. Now, I work in a gun shop, obviously. I hear a lot of people say, hey, don't point that at someone. And the response that invariably gets thrown at me is, well, it's not loaded. It's not loaded. And as I like to respond to that, the only guns that you have accidents with are the empty ones. Because what do people always say? Oh, I thought the gun was empty. Well, yeah, okay. So we're going to treat every firearm that we come in contact with as if it's loaded, even if we know it's not. It's just a really good habit to be in. That way, we hopefully avoid accidents. Now, there's more rules to that, obviously. What's another one, Jim?
Never point the muzzle at anything that you're not willing to destroy.
Hey, if we're not going to shoot it, don't point the gun at it. That seems like a silly, easy rule to remember, but you'd be surprised going back into, you know, I work at a store. Oftentimes, I get muzzle swept about crotch level by anyone that I happen to be showing anything to. Now, I have gotten used to that, but it still doesn't make me very happy, so for obvious reasons.
And then you'll go to some of our advanced training courses, and the instructors themselves are going to tell you to break this very rule.
Well,
I remember at a class at TDI where they said, point the gun at me. You have to learn to point the gun at someone.
That's tough to
deal with.
Well, it's, you know, in a training environment, this has actually been a conversation online lately. I don't know if you're familiar with the SIRT pistol, the CIRT. It's a pretty much a fake Glock that's got two lasers in it. One of them, when you get on the trigger, it indicates that you're on the trigger, and then when the shot breaks, it turns a different color. And the discussion was whether or not it was okay to point that at a student if that's what the training required. Now, obviously, some training is going to require firearms to be pointed at people, but that's a different circumstance. And usually what you're going to see there is everyone sees that the gun is empty, and then they run something through the muzzle and the barrel to indicate visually that it's still empty.
That's TDI's policy.
Yeah.
They rope the guns, and then you do a three-person check on every single gun.
Yeah, and I'm okay with that. But, I mean, when we're talking about just I'm picking a gun up for the first time, before we get into advanced things where you start breaking rules, and it's not even breaking rules necessarily, but you know, that's an important one. Don't point it at anything that we're not willing to shoot. The other one, obviously, be sure of your target and what's behind it. So if you're shooting at something, know what's behind it. Kind of important. Then the last one, don't touch the trigger until you're ready to shoot. Now, the interesting thing about these rules is that even if we break one of them, as long as we're following the other three, whatever accident we have or don't have is going to be fairly minor. When you see more than one of the rules being broken at the same time, that's where we end up with a bullet in something that we didn't want to have a bullet in, which I know I'm making that kind of into a joke, but it's a big deal. And people do it all the time without even thinking about it. That's why I'm a big fan, especially when I'm teaching folks how to use a gun, of getting that high finger index to the point where you're up as far onto the ejection port as you can be with the tip of your index finger. It's not very comfortable, but at least you know where your finger's at.
And if you ever want training on how not to behave, step into your local gun show. If you want to be muzzled more times than you can count, if you want to see just a huge number of folks walking around with fingers inside the trigger guard, and muzzle sweeping at the same time, classic. It's the place to be.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, and the other thing, too, is that, and this, once again, has been making the rounds on the internet as well, but obviously if you're at the range and you see someone being flagrantly dangerous, it's your responsibility to call them on that. Maybe the range safety officer isn't there, hasn't seen it. Maybe there is no range safety officer, exactly, depending on where you're shooting at. It's just incredibly important to call people on that. Now, you can do it politely if it's not an urgent matter. Sometimes things are urgent and you don't have time to be polite, and hey, whatever. If someone gets upset over that, then they need to grow up and play with different toys. It's just... And the funny part, too, is when you bring it to someone's attention that they're doing something dangerous and then they get upset at you. And it's like, I'm not the one pointing the gun at you.
And that's the key thing, is to realize that at some point in time in your training cycle, you're probably going to break one of these rules.
Oh, yeah.
And as long as you know that, as long as you have that humble attitude going in, you're much less likely to resent when you're called on it.
Well, and that's it. I'll tell this story real quick before the commercial. I was taking a class with Spencer Keepers, who's been on the show before, but it was mainly working on the draw and all that, and he comes by, you know, and he's watching me for a little bit, and he goes, hey, you know you're muzzling your hand on your draw? Mm-hmm. And my first immediate reaction, my base first reaction was, no, I'm not. I've been shooting. Oh, but I suppressed that because... Obviously, if you're paying money to learn things, if you ignore what the instructor is telling you, you might as well have, I don't know, thrown your money out the window. And that's, anyone can do it. It doesn't matter if you're new to guns, if you've been shooting your entire life. The rules are something that we constantly remind ourselves of, constantly try and keep in the forefront of our mind so we don't have an accident, so we don't hurt ourselves or someone else. I cannot stress enough how important these rules are. It's just incredible how people ignore them. But anyway, we'll talk about that a little bit more in the later part of the show. Up next, we're going to have Tom and Gunny Mac coming on from Point Blank in Blue Ash. Right now, you are listening to Ballistic Radio on 55 KRC, the talk station.
Wealthy and wise, the Steve Perrin Coordinated Financial Planning Studios. This is 55 KRC, the talk station.
Welcome back to Ballistic Radio on 55 KRC, the talk station, brought to you by Kyle's Gun Shop in Finneytown. Joining me in studio, Mr. Tom Wellingham, owner of Point Blank in Blue Ash, also one of his employees, Gunny Mac. How are you guys doing tonight?
Very good, thank you, John.
No problem.
Thanks a lot.
Now, let me say, Gunny Mac's not just an employee. He is like the master range safety officer.
Well, so hey, there you go.
That's why he's hanging out with us today.
Well, I kind of already knew that, but, you know, I didn't want to give him too big of a head. He was in the Marine Corps, so he's already got enough of an ego as it is. Oh, sorry.
That is true.
I kid. Out of love. You guys were always tougher than us. I was in the Army, so. But anyway, so if folks haven't been over to Point Blank and Blue Ash yet, it's actually a really interesting place. The range facilities there are modern, extremely modern. And if you don't mind taking just a minute, Tom, tell us about the range over there.
Well, thank you. You're right. It is very modern. It's probably one of the newest ranges in all of Ohio, probably all of the Midwest. We opened in November, so we're really only 6 months old right now. Spent the previous several months before that planning it out. But the entire range itself is based upon the upon the safety aspect.
Yeah.
You know, you can go to different places and different ranges in the city, different other cities or wherever you want to go. And one of the biggest fears of people that use that facility, not only from the associate standpoint, but also from the customer and the general public, is the safety aspect of it. You know, right from the design of our range, we have had safety in mind. And when, the way I look at it, when I first started designing this, with the help of obviously experts besides myself, because I'm the first to admit I don't know everything. But, you know, we wanted to make sure that the customers were safe, the public was safe, and that the associates or the employees were safe. And when I look at that, I break that down. I mean, first of all, you know, we want to protect anyone from being hit by a bullet or being around unsafe gun practices. Okay. Wait,
yeah, and it seems like so often that especially some of the places I've been, I get to travel a little bit and look at ranges that are all over the place, and it's funny, you can usually tell right away how a range handles itself and all that. One of the things that I was impressed by was you guys have a range safety officer that actually walks a range, don't you?
Yes. We have a range safety officer scheduled for every hour that we are open.
Cool.
So they not only, I mean, it's just not a, you know, a random, hey, who's going to be range safety officer today? Oh, I'll take the first hour, you take the second. It is actually scheduled, you know, a week or 2 weeks in advance. You get your schedule out, and you know exactly when you're working that range safety officer position.
Yeah, and that's, it's just funny how many places don't always place that as great of an importance on that. Some of the other things that you guys have done, as well as that, and this was something that I didn't even think of, but as I was talking to y'all before the show, a lot of the health risks that go along with shooting firearms indoors as far as ventilation and hazmat stuff that goes along with it, you guys have taken steps to avoid that as well.
Yes, that is correct. And again, that's back to one of the other areas. I mean, obviously, the firearm safety is one of them. The other two was protection of employees and the public's hearing, and also the protection of from the air contaminants that you would breathe. Our range has, you know, triple HEPA-filtered air. It goes past the firing line at 80 feet per second, so that if anything being discharged, if there's any type of smoke, any type of gunpowder, any type of lead dust of any type, it's blown out into the range and then through the HEPA filter system.
Right.
So, and then it returns, it goes through the 99.99% HEPA filters, which is the same things they use in a hospital,
mm-hmm.
and it comes back out through around with makeup air and comes past you again.
Cool.
So, yeah, we made sure that was also. And then one of the last things I'm going to talk about, because Gunny Mac here is the expert on the firearm safety, but the protection of the hearing as well. We went to length to provide soundproofing. There's soundproofing back behind our firing line. There's soundproofing 25 feet forward of the firing line to protect. You know, everyone's required to wear hearing protection, but if you wore hearing protection in a metal building or just a stark concrete vacant building, which a lot of firing indoor lanes
sure.
Ranges are, then it doesn't matter. It's still, you can feel it pretty bad.
Yeah, it's loud.
Yeah.
And especially, and this was kind of the other nice thing too, you guys actually have some rifle lanes. So if you're standing next to somebody on a range that has not taken steps to help soundproof it, it doesn't really matter if you've got ears on or not, earphones, because it's still loud. So
yeah.
That's always nice when you can have that sort of taken care of. Now, Mac, you're the chief range safety officer, so I assume that you get to see all sorts of interesting things going on the range. Now, I was talking about, before y'all came in, some of the four rules specifically, and just how lackadaisical people are when they're handling firearms. Do you think that that is something that is allowed to continue because people don't correct it? and that's why that goes on that way? Or
most likely it's everybody gets complacent because they know them, they've been taught them, they come in and they figure nothing's ever going bad going to happen to them. So what we do is that's the reason we have a range safety officer out there. He is out there, or she is out there, to make sure that everybody is still following those rules. Because no matter how much you've shot, like you said, I was in the Marine Corps for 20 years, I still follow the rules because it is everybody's responsibility. Right. So it's not something that should be taken lightly. You follow the four rules, you'll be safe, and everybody around you will feel safer.
Yeah, and it's just so in addition to those four rules, you guys also, when you're walking the range and all that, if you see folks having problems or something of that nature, you help them out.
We do. We are the range safety officer. If you have any stoppage or malfunction of your whether it be a pistol, rifle, shotgun, we ask that they leave it on the firing line and then let the range safety officer clear it. That way, if there's no chance that anybody else is going to get hurt, if we can't clear it on that spot, we take it away and we clear it at a clear spot. So we are there to help. We're there to help if they're having problems figuring out that their magazine's not going in well. Hey, we're there to help. We're not just there to stand over them, tell them, hey, you're doing this wrong, you're doing this wrong. We are there to assist and help them be better shooters.
Well, that's always a good thing.
And John, if I could interrupt.
Yeah.
You know, with the popularity of the recreational aspect of shooting, target shooting nowadays, I mean, it's grown in popularity so much in the last few years. This is especially important right now. What Mac is and the other range safety officers are doing is helping people out, is because there's a lot of, you know, I don't want to call them first-time shooters, but there's a lot of second, third, fourth, fifth-time shooters that aren't comfortable with clearing a gun, and they know that they can lay that gun down, get a range safety officer, and they'll clear it for them. And trust me, everyone else is safer by doing that.
Right, and I mean, obviously, that's I've seen people try and clear malfunctions before where it invariably ends up pointed at them with their finger on the trigger as they're struggling with it. Jim?
Mac, a quick question. Do you have to remove folks from the range? Are you having any issues with folks repeatedly non-compliant, or you got a good clientele that tends to respond to gentle suggestions when you make them?
99.9% of our customers, they usually respond. We ask them, hey, just like rapid firing, we don't allow rapid fire for safety reasons. One, a lot of people don't know how to rapid fire. Sure. They can't control a weapon they think they can. So it causes a safety issue. Rounds in the ceiling, rounds in the concrete. Rapid fire to me is we allow double tapping or even three shots if you're want to do a triple tap. But after that, there needs to be a pause. I have not had to remove anybody from the range. I usually give them one warning and they realize, okay, I'm doing something wrong, and they correct it.
That's nice.
Well, and, you know, obviously when people, and I think this is something that's overlooked too, and especially for people that have been shooting for a while, I try not to do it, but I've run into it before where people that have been shooting for a while and have a certain level of proficiency for whatever reason, it's not that they don't have respect for new shooters, but they have very little patience for new shooters, and they certainly don't like interrupting their range time or even going out of their way sometimes, it seems, to, as you said, gently remind people of the rules. It's kind of everyone's responsibility to keep everyone else in line. I know that seems cliche, but we all need to help each other out as far as that goes. We've got another minute or so before the break. So now, out of curiosity, you mentioned target shooting, but also a lot of folks, it seems these days, are interested in concealed carry, getting their carry permits and all that. Now, you guys actually offer that there as well, classes, or?
That is correct. We offer concealed carry classes. We also offer basic handgun classes, advanced if one-on-one classes if they would like to get with just one person or two people with one instructor. We offer ladies-only classes. We just now started actually offering ladies' self-defense classes.
Yeah, one of those is being held today, so I don't think. Yeah, I wouldn't go over to Point Blank after dark tonight.
And accost one of the women coming out of the parking lot.
To try their skills out.
Yeah. So we were actually just talking. Kathy Jackson was on the show recently. We were talking about the merits of a women's only class, just because oftentimes it seems that there people are more willing to ask questions around people that are at the same place they are as far as in their shooting progression. We'll talk a little bit more about that, a little bit more about the classes, the prevalence of concealed carry, how it's rising in popularity when we get back. Right now, you're listening to Ballistic Radio on 55 KRC, the talk station.
Brian Thomas, Monday in the Morning Show. I know my dad's upset about something. We're going to find out together at 7:05. Maybe the NSA.
Welcome back to Ballistic Radio on 55 KRC, the talk station, brought to you by Kyle's Gun Shop in Finneytown. For folks just tuning in, we are talking to Tom and Gunny Mac from Point Blank and Blue Ash. We're going to be taking your calls at the end of the show. I've actually set time aside for it, and I won't make my making fun of people joke because apparently some people take that the wrong way. I was just kidding, guys. I'm sorry. You can call in at 749-5500 or 1-800-823-8255. Talk about gun stuff, concealed carry, whichever you would like. I will try and answer your questions. So, Tom and Mac from Point Blank and Blue Edge, thanks again, guys, for coming into the show this evening. So,
you're welcome. Thank you, John, for having us.
Oh, yeah, no problem. We were talking a little bit about concealed carry and how you guys offer classes over there. And then you were saying during the break, too, something that I found interesting. You've actually got a high number of employees that are veterans of the military, too.
Yeah, so, that is correct.
So, and obviously Gunny is not Mac's first name. That would be, well, I guess it is after long enough in the Corps. Gunnery Sergeant.
It's his first name. It's not his real last name. His real last name, Sack.
Oh. Well, I guess that's okay. hey, I didn't say it. So, anyway, back to guns and concealed carry and all that. See, it's great when your boss makes fun of you because you can't really respond, especially when it's in a public venue.
Exactly.
Oh, well, it's okay. So, the concealed carry classes that you guys have, NRA and OPATA certified instructors?
Yes, that is correct.
Cool.
Yeah.
And obviously, for folks that don't know, the concealed carry class, the basic requirements of that in Ohio, it's a 12-hour class. You've got 10 hours of classroom time. You've got 2 hours of range time. You take a written test, and then you take a shooting test at the end of the class. The nice thing about the class is that if you know absolutely nothing about firearms and you come in and take that class, by the end of the class, if you're paying attention, you will be capable of not accidentally shooting yourself, which is very, very important. Can't stress that enough. It's a bad way to start off a gunfight, actually, is if you put a hole in yourself. At least I've been told. So, I'm not going to tell that story either.
No personal experience?
No.
John, you always have a personal experience.
I've never shot myself. Now, there was someone I worked with once that did, but I'm actually still friends with him, and I like him because he's a decent guy, so I'm not going to embarrass him on the air. Where did you shoot yourself? The living room? No. No. I hope he's listening. So anyway, back on topic. So going back to the range and safety and things of that nature. Now, obviously, you guys have some rules as far as no rapid fire, which makes a lot of sense, especially when you've got shooters of unknown skill levels grouped together. I know that some folks get upset by the no rapid fire thing. Honestly, folks, I can take that or leave that. I prefer to see it there just because, like I said, when you're at a public range, especially a range that rents firearms, which you guys do, you just don't know who you're standing next to. So if we are doing things that are preemptive in nature, yes, sometimes it isn't fun for the folks that are capable of doing it, but when we look at it on the whole, it's a good idea. Now, in addition to that, you folks only allow two people per lane at a time, and then how's that work?
We allow two people out at the range at a time. You can have multiple people. You can have up four or five people come in for the same group to go on the same lane, but there's only allowed to be two individuals out there at the same at one time on that lane. Due to the fact that we have 20 lanes, if we allow five per lane, that's a whole lot of individuals for the range safety officer to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
So we try to limit it that way. So that's why we allow two per lane, and they can rotate in and out.
Yeah. And that makes a lot of sense as far as just when you have too many cooks in the kitchen, you never know what's going to happen as far as someone gets in the way of someone else or who knows.
One of the other things, John, is we encourage every parent to bring their child to learn to shoot at a reasonable age.
Yeah.
I'm finding most parents think that around 8 years old is the time to start learning to handle a firearm. But whether they're 8 years old, 16 years old, 15 years old, or whatnot, one of our requirements is that child has to be with their legal guardian. So a dad is not going to bring in their son or daughter and also two of the neighbor kids as well. It's happened once in a while, and it's very disappointing to tell them, but they are not their legal guardian, and we are not going to take that responsibility, and I don't think they would want to take it either if anything did happen.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense. And it's funny you mention that because now you guys teach basic classes as well. I assume children are welcome to that if their parent wants to bring them.
Yes.
As far as getting kids educated at a young age. I actually started shooting when I was 5. thanks, Dad. It's been a lifelong sport, pursuit, interest, hobby, what have you ever since. I actually think that it was very helpful to me as far as providing an example of responsibility early on. If you're going to have guns in your house, it's critical that you educate your children. Do not rely on keeping the gun hidden. You cannot hide that gun well enough. Do not rely on keeping that gun locked up because, you know, weird things happen occasionally. Just if your kid knows about the right way to handle guns, it's only going to be helpful for everyone around them. We've got a couple minutes left. I wanted to ask real quick. Now, you guys have a pretty extensive rental counter as well at the range?
Yes, we do. We have approximately 80 firearms right now.
Wow.
And I think Mac knows all of them pretty much better than I do, but I think we have about 11 or 12 long guns. Is that correct, Mac?
We have 12.
Anyone from anything from a SCAR 17 to
down to a little 22 single action bolt
single
action.
Single action bolt, yeah.
With the AR with EOTech sights on it.
And then the other 68 are handguns. Now, our rental guns are in excellent condition. Mm-hmm. We clean these things, once a week or at least once every 2 weeks. The rental guns are cleaned.
Right.
They're clean. They're checked for safety. Anything's replaced if it's broken, et cetera. So when you come in and choose a gun to fire from our rental counter, it's going to work, and it's going to be nice, and it's going to be clean.
Well, and that's always a big thing, too. One of the things that I always like to do was rent guns from ranges just to see
if they function.
Yeah, if they function. I actually made quite a few firearms decisions just based off of picking a gun up that I know had not been taken care of.
Right.
So I guess I won't try that at your range.
Yeah,
since,
you won't have a chance up there.
Darn.
And that's important. If you're going there to try to choose possibly the gun you're going to carry to protect yourself with, it's good to know that that gun is going to function properly. You're going to have a good sense of how that gun's going to handle in your hands.
It goes back to safety as well, because the dirtier the gun, the more often it jams, the more people that don't know how to handle that jam. Goes back to the beginning of our of the program. So we feel it's important to keep those things clean for safety reasons as well.
And that makes a lot of sense. So if someone's trying to make a decision between two different firearms as far as ones that they're wanting to carry, and they've got enough information available to them as far as they know what they like or don't like, that they can pick something up, shoot it, and make a decision based off that, you guys are a good place to go to just because of the number of guns that you have.
Right. And the other thing we do offer at Point Blank is that when you come in and pay for a rental gun, if you want to shoot one gun for 20 or for 10 minutes, go back out, return it, get another gun, you're still on the same price.
Nice.
That way, you know, we're not saying, oh, you can't do that. It's you come out and shoot it.
How are you gentlemen handling the ammunition shortage? Do you have a decent supply for folks running guns? I mean, are you limiting number of boxes of purchased or anything like that?
We just now took away pretty much the limitation.
Okay.
We went through this whole ammunition shortage, maybe 6 days we didn't have 9mm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 9mm and 22.
And 22.
Wow.
And 22s are still the hardest to get.
I've noticed that too.
Yeah, but we have a stockpile that you would not believe.
Well, and that's always nice that if you're wanting to go try a gun out and you can actually purchase ammunition to use it, because that's
what's
always
the point otherwise.
Yeah, that's always funny.
I do want to make one point though, because everyone's, you know, you've seen ammunition go up in price.
Sure.
I hate the words price gouge. We are not price gouging anyway. Matter of fact, our margins have been lowered. We're absorbing a lot of the cost of that ammunition just so people can enjoy the range and do the recreational aspect of it. So it is higher. I mean, when we first opened, I think you could buy 9 mils for $14, $15, and they're over $20 now. But you
welcome
know,
to the free market.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, hey, guys, I appreciate you coming on. I told you all that would be quick. We've been talking to Tom and Mac from Point Blank and Blue Ash, corner of Deerfield and Creek. You can check them out if you do a Google search, Point Blank. Blue Ash, it'll come right up. Pointblank.com?
Shootpointblank.com.
I'm sorry, guys.
That's fine.
Thanks again for coming on. When we get back, we'll be taking your questions. No one on the line right now. You can call in at 749-5500 or 1-800-823-8255. Otherwise, you're going to have to listen to me, Jim, and Andy talk. I know no one wants to do that. Right now, you're listening to Ballistic Radio on 55KRC, the talk station.
Glenn Beck.
This will blow your mind.
Tomorrow at 9:06 on 55KRC, the talk station.
Welcome back to Ballistic Radio on 55KRC, the talk station, brought to you by Kyle's Gun Shop in Finneytown. Got a couple folks holding on the line right now, but if you want to try and get your question in, 749-5500 or 1-800-823-8255. It was funny. I actually got a message from the gentleman whose name I did not name. I guess he was listening to the show. Still here with Jim and Andy. Guys, I appreciate you coming in. It's actually really nice to have both of you in at the same time.
It's a lot of fun.
Oh, I think so, too. We're going to be taking some calls in just a minute. But before we do that, I just, once again, and I know I'm repeating myself quite a bit, but I cannot stress enough how important it is for you to be familiar with how to safely handle a firearm. It's, you know, even professionals, even people that have been handling guns their entire lives, make mistakes. You actually see a lot of the times the guys that actually do the high-speed stuff, kicking down doors, things like that, every once in a while you'll see an accident where, you know, someone's shot someone else. It's a shame, but it's something that happens. So, anyway, we're going to try and take some calls. I've got a concealed carry question on line three that I'm going to try and take in just one moment. If my producer gets off the line, maybe we'll see. He's getting ready to type something. Well, try and take another one. I've got Steve from. Oh, hey, sorry, Steve, I lied. I'll get to you next, Matt. From Cincinnati has a concealed carry question. Let's see here. Matt, are you there?
Yes. A lot of us carry, and we have to go to work at either the VA or UC or someplace like that.
Right.
And the problem is, I wouldn't know if there's anything in the legal works. We cannot carry in there. We know that.
Right.
But into the parking lot, you can't even go into the lots, like even the zoo lot. It's illegal to have your gun locked in your car. In the VA lot, it's illegal to lock your gun. It's illegal to have a bullet in your car in the VA lot. And likewise, if you go into a lot at the post office, you know, you may not be carrying your gun in the post office, but if you got your gun in your trunk, you're illegal.
Well,
I understand a lot of places, other parts of the country, stores are doing this with their lots, too.
Well, it depends. I know there's been some, and forgive me, this is one of those laws that I'm not incredibly familiar with, but there's been some push lately to get it so that even if your employer restricts you from carrying a firearm into a parking lot even, you're still allowed to store that in your car. That has not changed yet that I'm aware of, Jim.
Not in Ohio.
Not in Ohio.
Several of our neighboring states have parking lot provisions, but not Ohio.
Right. So
doesn't Indiana have one now?
Maybe.
I'm not certain about Indiana, sir.
Yeah, unfortunately, none of us live in Indiana and are familiar with those laws. But something, you know, obviously you can't do very much about that. You're put in a very poor situation. Contacting your local legislators is a really good step.
We've written emails and things to them. But I believe with all these shootings and the anti-gun thing, because of the shootings lately, Didn't they fail to pass something just recently?
They've failed to pass all sorts of things recently. It'd be hard to narrow it down. There's been all sorts of pro-gun bills and also anti-gun bills that haven't passed. But as far as the parking lot thing goes, right now, yeah, you can't do that. Hopefully in the future you'll be able to, though. That'll be a little bit questionable on government property, because even then you're restricted. But
and that's a federal thing. That's not a specifically a state of Ohio thing.
Right. Matt, I appreciate you calling in tonight. I hope you enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
I actually go out of my way just to get to radio at 7 o'clock on Sunday night.
Hey, that's great to hear, Matt. I appreciate that. You have a good evening, sir.
You too.
All right. So let's see here. We've got Steve. I was going to get to him earlier. Let's see here. Steve, are you there?
Hello? Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. What was your question, sir?
Well, as you know, Kyle's my hero, and I kind of was wanting to see. I heard a story that he carries. He chooses a big lady Smith and Wesson. No. And I was wondering if that's true, because I was going to get one if he does.
No, I bet this is Steve Webb, if I had to guess.
It's Steve Webb. I'm sorry.
Hey, Steve. It's good seeing you.
Great show.
Oh, yeah, hey. No, Kyle actually carries a Glock 19, 9mm. As much as I'd like to make fun of my boss on the radio, that seems like it would be a bad idea. Actually, Kyle's a good guy, so I wouldn't do that anyway. But as far as carry guns go, pretty much everyone at the shop carries a 9mm. A lot of folks that work there carry Glocks. I actually did until recently. One exception to that is actually Dave, the store manager, carries a 40 caliber Glock. Carry guns are one of those personal choices.
There's no accounting for taste.
Yeah. Hey, if all I had was a pink Lady Smith, I'd carry one. I've got a Smith that I carry around in my pocket. It's not pink, but that's because I'm not cool enough to rock it. Hey, Steve, I appreciate you calling in.
No problem. Like I said, great show. I always love to hear about the safety aspect.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I appreciate it. Okay, here. Let's see who else we've got. Kyle from Cincinnati. Kyle, how's it going?
Hey, it's going well. How are you?
Pretty good. What's your question?
I don't really have a question. I just want to say I appreciate you going over the safety aspect of everything. I know firsthand that accidents can happen very, very quickly. And, you know, I like that you mentioned, you know, regardless of how big of an expert or how much shooting you've done, you know, it happens in the blink of an eye, and you just never know when it's going to happen.
No, that's it. It's just, it's funny because I've been extremely lucky as far as I get to be around a lot of national level trainers and things like that just in the course of some of the classes that I've taken. And lately, too, as far as with the radio thing goes. And it's always kind of interesting. The guys that I respect the most and the ones that seem to do the best when they're teaching their classes are the ones that place a really big emphasis on safety, making sure everyone's safe, having a range emergency plan, which is something that's oftentimes overlooked. Hey, what happens if someone does get shot? What are we going to do? Who's medically trained here? Do we have a blowout kit? Blowout kit would be a gunshot wound kit. Right. Tourniquet, you know, quick clot gauze.
Something other than dial 911.
Dial 911 is important, and oftentimes what you're going to try and do is designate someone, okay, I'm going to dial 911 and give first responders directions to where we're at. You're going to handle first aid. It's good to have designated roles, and I see that at a lot of the classes that I've gone to, and it's always good. Kyle, I appreciate you calling in. Thanks for listening to the show. All right, one more caller right now. We've got Eve from Cincinnati. Question on ammo pricing. Eve, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Eve, I appreciate you calling in the show. What's your question?
Well, I just want to say I listen to your show every Sunday, and it's so nice to hear that there is a gun show that's not advertising for themselves. Like, they're actually bringing in even, like, competitors. That's amazing. And you're talking about all these aspects of safety and whatnot. But I heard Point Blank saying that they sell their ammo, their 9mm ammo, for $20-something. And I just got a new gun. It's 9mm. And I was wondering what Kyle's gun shop sells it for.
Honestly, that's a question that I'm not going to get into right now because I'm not. I actually don't think that they have any 9mm in stock right now. I believe that we ran out earlier in the week. So it's oftentimes going to depend on how much a shop's paid for it. And something that you need to keep in mind, too, is that a lot of times when a shop prices their ammo, they might get ammunition for one distributor for a price that is much higher than they've gotten it in the past, or they will get it in the future. So ammo prices are kind of something that's always going to fluctuate. And I know that lately, especially with the shortages that have been going on, it's easy to jump to the conclusion that people are trying to, you know, make money or gouge or something like that. Right. You know, oftentimes you can see one price, and let's just pick an example. Let's say you see someone selling ammunition for $30. They might have paid $28 for that box of ammunition, you know, and the next time they sell it, you might see it for $25 and you go, oh, wow, they decided to lower their prices. Well, they probably paid less for it.
Right.
So,
gotcha.
You might, and there are certain, and I'm not going to call anyone out, there are certain places that I expect to see prices a lot higher than they should be based off of what I'm aware of,
But that's also how they guarantee that they'll have ammo in stock.
Well, and exactly. That's it, too. I mean, it's a free market economy. Supply and demand is something that, you know, sometimes it's not fun for us. But if there's a limited supply, honestly, whatever someone's willing to pay for it is how much the ammo's worth. Thanks for calling in tonight. Next week on Ballistic Radio, we're going to have Mr. Craig Douglas, a.k.a. South NERC, joining us in studio to tell us about some of the ways we can be safer in our everyday life. What things we can do to avoid violent encounters. Anyway, thanks for listening in. Check us out on Facebook.com/Ballistic Radio or BallisticRadio.com. Thanks again, Jim, Andy. Everyone be safe. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. On 55 KRC Talk Station.